All right. We're always happy to welcome our good friend Herb Weisbaum to the show. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all of his stories. You can subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. If you have any questions or concerns that are consumer-related, scam-related, or any of that kind of stuff, Herb's here to help you. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Hi, Herb.
And you are the highlight of my month.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank
you. It's a true story. Yeah. I love doing this.
Oh, we love having you on, Herb. It's great.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about you, just to get up to speed, as we always do.
Oh, sure. I'm the consumer reporter out in Seattle for a local radio station. Also write a weekly column for NBCNews.com. Have been covering the consumer beat for about 35 years now. And I absolutely hate ripoffs and scams and people that try to take advantage of us. And I'm here to try to share advice that helps you protect yourself.
That's right. And you can follow him on
Facebook. I have a website, consumerman.com, where I post all my stories. And I'm just here to try to make you a smarter consumer, because we sure all need help this day and age with all the tricks that are going on.
There's no question about it. By the way, I do want to mention, before we get into the consumer stuff, you kissed a goat?
Yes.
Can we?
Yes, I recently joined the board of directors of a great animal sanctuary out here in the Northwest, just outside of Seattle, called Posado Safe Haven. Posado was a donkey who lived at the local park right near my house here, and was actually tortured for hours and killed by some teenage kids 26 years ago.
Man.
And at that point in time, there was no law in the books for animal cruelty in the state of Washington, believe it or not, that would cover this case. They basically got charged with being in a park after dark.
And so
one of my colleagues at the local TV station here decided to do something about it, got a law passed, founded this great organization, PosadoSafeHaven.org, and bought 85 acres of land out in the country. And it's not only dogs and cats like you see at a shelter, but this is a sanctuary. There are farm animals. You go out there, and there are pigs and chickens and ducks and cows. And I got kissed by Dudley the goat the other day. The picture of me on my Twitter page or my Facebook page where he's giving me a kiss?
Yeah.
They wanted a picture because I was out there for a meeting. I wasn't sure, to tell the God's honest truth, I wasn't sure if he was going to kiss me or bite my nose off.
Yeah, I would be a little...
He did give me just a little kiss. He was very sweet, very, very sweet guy. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds like a fantastic organization. It really does.
Yeah, it's really nice to help. I hate to tell you this, Nick, but when you see some of the brutality that people do to animals, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
And this group is there to save them, rescue them. We just rescued with other groups in the state 250 dogs from a puppy mill situation, and 40-something cats from a hoarder, a woman who unfortunately had dementia and was keeping all these cats.
Oh.
And it looked like a carpet. When you actually went in, there was actually fecal material on the floor.
Oh, man.
It was so they had actually wear hazmat suits to get in to rescue these cats.
Oh,
so it's just a really, really wonderful organization. I'm proud to be part of them.
And that's is there a website that people can go to?
Sure. It's PosadoSafeHaven.org, P-A-S-A-D-O, SafeHaven.org. And we just put out a calendar, and my guy, Sam, is Mr. December.
Oh, look at that.
So while you're at commercial break, you and Dan click on and look at that, and my boy standing up on his hind legs is Mr. December.
Oh, there you go. That's fantastic. What a great organization. I'm glad we were able to talk about this, Herb. That's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, listen, there's a lot of charity that goes on. I know you wrote a piece, and it was originally Giving Tuesday. But, at this time during the holidays, people feel charitable and want to give some money to some good causes. And you have some tips to avoid scams, when you're during this time of year. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Nothing annoys me more, truly, than con artists who try to pretend to be charitable organizations and steal money all year long, but especially at the holiday time, because not only are they stealing from you, but they're also robbing from the charity that you wanted to give money to.
Right.
And while most charities are legitimate, there are the bad guys out there, and they take advantage of times like this where everybody wants to open their hearts and their wallets to give before the end of the year or during the Christmas season or whatever, and steal tens of millions of dollars a year. So I put together for one of my stories a list of tips on making charitable contributions, just to give you a fact here that will make people pay attention. Just one single group of charities, four bogus charities all run by the same people that were shut down by the Federal Trade Commission 2 years ago that were supposedly raising money for cancer and breast cancer, they are accused of bilking donors out of $187 million.
Oh, my God.
Just four charities, supposed charities run by a group of people. So that gives you an idea. That's just one. And, you know, state attorney generals are always suing them, and the feds are suing them. It gives you some idea of how serious this problem is. I mean, we're talking probably hundreds of millions of dollars a year. So the first thing that I think folks have to know is that just because someone asks you for money or just has a good appeal either on the phone or a website pitch or an email or a letter or whatever, does not mean that you want to give them your money. They may not be a good organization. They may be a good organization that won't use your money wisely, or it may be con artists trying to steal your money. So you've got to really be careful who you give your money to. And one of the greatest ideas that was given to me by experts who talked to me for this story, and we can run down some tips on how to spot charity scams and what to do, but is rather than doing it on a hit-and-miss basis, sit down with your family. It may not be too late now if you haven't finished your year-end giving, and make up a budget of your charity. Make a charity budget. How much do we want to spend overall, and then which kinds of organizations do we want to support, and maybe research a few and decide where you want to give your money. A, you'll know you're giving it to a reputable charity that uses your money wisely and does good things, and B, if you get hit up by outside solicitations, you can honestly say with a clear conscience, you know, I'm really sorry, but I've already allotted my money for this year, and I don't want to do it. You don't have to feel guilty about turning down a solicitation. I just think that's an absolute wonderful idea, and I hope people take advantage of that. It's a very, very smart way to approach this whole thing.
Yeah, and also doing some research, correct?
Absolutely, because, you know, and it's really easy to do, because with this day and age, thanks to the internet, there's three websites that I go into great detail about on my story that's on consumerman.com, but they're basically three, and you don't even have to go to all three, but there's give.org, and that's the website run by the Better Business Bureau, and they have reports on about 1,300 national charities, and then local chapter reports on about 10,000 charities in both the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
They don't rank them, but they tell you if they meet their 20 standards, how they do.
I've donated through give.org for the hurricanes and a lot of the other natural disasters.
I don't think you can give through that, but you check them out through give.org.
Yeah.
Maybe you can link to the charity through there, but that's a way to check them out is what
yeah,
you do.
Exactly.
With that.
There is a link. There are links you can get through.
Okay.
That's how I've done it. That's how I've done it for the hurricane relief.
Good.
So.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Then there's one called Charity Navigator, and they have information on all 1.5 million nonprofits registered by the U.S., and they'd actually give them stars, from 0 to 5 stars, and they evaluate a whole bunch of things like how well they use their money and what kind of board they have and their level of commitment and transparency and that kind of thing. If you see a charity with 3 or 4 stars, they meet or exceed the industry standard for financial health and accountability. There's also a list of charities that get 0 or 1 star. You might want to steer clear of those.
Mm.
And then the third one is called Charity Watch, and that's been around for about 25 years or so, and they use an A-plus to an F rating to show how efficiently a charity uses donations. And they actually have a list of top-rated charities that generally spend 75% or more of their budgets on programs and $25 or less to raise $100 in support. And that's another thing. A lot of people, when I talk to them, think, well, if it's a registered charity, you know, if they're registered with the IRS or signed up with my state, as many states require, I can assume they do, you know, they use the money wisely. There is no law, there is no regulation that says how much money a charity must spend on charitable causes. I mean, you could spend, there are charities, quote-unquote charities, spend 70, 80, 90% of the money they raise on administration or overhead or whatever. You know, a good charity in my book uses 30% or less for all the stuff, and the rest goes to the charitable cause. But you can't assume. There's no regulation. There's nothing that tells them what they have to do. You've got to take the time and check on your own and make sure they're using your money wisely.
And so those three, they're easy to access. It's give.org.
Give.org.
Charity Navigator.
Charity Navigator.
And charity.org.
And charitywatch.org. So three that are really, really good.
And you also have a detail here that many states require charities to register in order to solicit.
Right. I don't know what your state does, whether it's the Secretary of State or the Attorney General's office, but almost all states require them. And again, if they're not registered, and somebody said, hey, you should check out this charity when I was at work the other day, and I went on, and, you know, you should donate or mention them on your show, and it's like, they're not registered, they shouldn't be collecting money in this state. And it's like, uh-oh. And, you know, so that's something you need to look at as well, because they're by law, they have to be in most states registered to collect money in that state.
Okay. All right. And we're going to take a break for the news, Herb. But when we come back, I want to go through the five tips that you have
Sure.
for people. Okay,
absolutely,
That's as part of this article that is up on the website at consumerman.com. It's the five tips to avoid scams and make smart decisions with your charitable dollars. Herb, hang on, okay.
You got it, Nick.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website at consumerman.com. Follow him on Facebook at consumerman and on Twitter at the Consumer Man. We've got much more to talk about. And again, if you have any questions or concerns about scams or consumer-related issues, we would love to take your phone calls or your texts. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. By the way, if you're wondering why you're not hearing the regular intro at the top of the show, it's because we started at 12:30 this morning, a little extra half an hour. So we played our intro at 12:30 this morning, and we are here now until 5 o'clock. It's the Allstate Skyline Studio that we're live in. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up, and we're gonna get a special Friday morning visit from Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. Yesterday, the Golden Globe nominations were announced, both on the TV side and the movie side, and we're going to analyze the TV side of those nominations with our good friend Dan Feinberg, and that will be coming up after the 1:30 news. Right now, our good friend Herb Weisbaum is with us, Emmy Award-winning reporter covering the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. His website is consumerman.com. If you have any concerns or questions that are scam or consumer-related, we would love to hear from you. Herb is here, 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Hello, Nick.
All right. We were in the middle of talking about what you can do with your charitable dollars is to not get scammed during the holiday season. People like to give money, and you have some tips to avoid getting scammed.
Absolutely. We have five of them here, so I'll run them down to you. First of all, resist the urge to give on the spot. I will never give to anybody who shows up at the door. It's always risky. You have no idea who they really are. And the same, in my book, the same rule goes for a phone call. You have no idea really who that person is on the other end of the line. It could be somebody legitimate. It could be a clever con artist trying to steal your credit or debit card information. There is no way for you to really know. If for some reason you sound interested in what they're pitching, ask them to send you information. If it's a legitimate charity, they will. And if it's like most people who call me, the phone goes click as soon as they say, could you please send me some information?
Yep.
So, be aware of that. I just wouldn't do that sort of thing. It's just absolutely way too risky. Number two, don't respond to pressure tactics. If you're getting the, you know, we need this now, or that we got to do this, you got to give me your number, legitimate charities never pressure you to give immediately. They're very happy to send you information, tell you about their mission, their programs. They'd love you to become a long-term donor. And as one charity expert said to me, it's really okay to say no, even to a heart-wrenching appeal. You've got to just check them out and know that you're giving your money wisely and where you want to give. So that's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for sound-alike names. And this is really important. A lot of charities have the words cancer or heart or veterans or children in their names. And a lot of questionable groups very often choose names that sound like famous, well-known charities because they know they can fool you. So you can't just go on the name where you think that sounds like the charity you were looking into or care about. You've got to really make sure that it's the charity that you want to give to and that you've chosen, not just the charity that has the name cancer or breast cancer or children or veterans or anything like that in their name. So it's really, really important. I mean, that group I told you about earlier, the four bogus charities you have Federal Trade Commission shut down for taking in $187 million bogus collections.
Yeah.
I mean, they had great names. Cancer Fund of America, Children's Cancer Fund of America, Cancer Support Services, and Breast Cancer Society. I mean, who wouldn't want to give to those groups, right?
Right.
They were con artists who were just trying to steal money, and they used them. I mean, these guys, I've read these charges from the feds. These kind of guys, they buy sports cars, they buy mansions, they use them on drugs. You're giving money that you thought was going to help a worthwhile cause, and then these guys are getting it, which, as I said before, just really burns me that they're not only stealing your money, but they're stealing from the charities that are trying to do a good deed. So that's why you really got to be careful.
Okay.
That's number three. Number four, don't be swayed by gifts. A lot of charities will mail out solicitations this time of year, and they'll put something in it, address labels or greeting cards or calendars. The free gifts tend to increase donations, which is why they send them out. It gets your attention. Don't feel you have to donate in order to keep these items. You don't, and don't feel you have to make a donation just because you got an item. Like anything else, if that gets your attention, you'll learn about the charity, and it's of interest to you, great. And if not, a free gift is a free gift, then just enjoy it. And finally, know the warning signs of a charity scam. Anytime you are asked to wire money right away, or we're going to send a courier over to your house or an overnight delivery service to pick up that donation, stop. It's a red flag. You're dealing with a con artist. Some charities guarantee that you'll win a sweepstakes if you make a contribution. Don't go that route either. There are some charities that do run contests in order to help raise money, but nobody can guarantee you that you will be a winner if you give money. So that's an absolute scam as well. And some places will call up and say, hey, we're just calling because remember you made that pledge and you're going to make the donation, and they try to bamboozle you and trick you into giving money. If you didn't make the pledge, you didn't make the pledge. There's no problem whatsoever with hanging up. Don't let somebody high pressure you or twist your arm and make you give a donation. The final thing, and this is really, really important, the number two reason why I would never give money over the phone, aside from the fact that you don't know who's on the other end of the line, if it is a boiler room calling you, it is a very good bet that most of the money you were to give, if you were to make a donation, is going to go to the company making the telemarketing call and not the charity in question. Standard contracts now, according to the folks I talked to at the Federal Trade Commission, tend to be 80 to 90%. So if somebody called me up and I gave $100, $80 to $90 of my $100 donation would go to the telemarketer, not the charity.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a charity you want to do, as I said before, pick your charities, research them, and then make the donation directly. You know, send them a check, go online and make a donation. But if you're doing an intermediary like a telephone call, those boiler rooms keep most of the money. And I hate to see all that money going to them. It should be going to the charitable cause.
Well, I didn't know that. That's not good. Man, oh, man. Okay,
yeah. And a lot of these calls, and you probably get them there. We get them here, too. They claim to be raise money for the police. And they talk real fast. Sometimes this is Sergeant Jones of the police, for the Chicago Police Department, and they make it sound to you like if you make a donation, the cops will watch your neighborhood more, that if you make a donation, it's going to help the police department. And in most cases, what they're calling for is either they're calling for the police union or a police benevolent fund or something like that, which if you wanted to give to that, I have no problem whatsoever. I have a problem with somebody trying to fool you, because I've talked to people who have given to this, and they thought they were buying bulletproof vests or, canine dogs or, police. That's what your tax dollars go for. Even in Chicago, that's what your tax dollars go for.
Yeah.
They don't have to call up and raise money for that. So if you want to give to the Police Widows Fund or the Police Benevolent Fund or the union, whatever, that's fine. Your donation is probably not tax deductible. And if you ask them, is it deductible? If they're telling the truth, they'll say no if that's one of the cases. But I just get the problem where these telemarketers call up and pretend to be a cop and make promises like, we'll patrol your neighborhood more because we really appreciate you doing what you're doing. Again, that's just not the way anybody should be raising money.
Okay. And by the way, this full article is up on your website, correct? Consumerman.com?
Yes, absolutely. Consumerman.com.
Okay. And tell everyone, first of all, before we jump into our next story here, tell everybody about your newsletter.
Sure, it's real simple. If you go to the website, get a little pop-up, or you can go to the right-hand corner and just sign up for the newsletter. I will send you a little email from me every week that tells you about the stories that I did on NBCNews.com, and also a couple of the ones I've done on the local radio station out here. Just it's a great way to keep up to date on what's going on in the consumer world. I don't sell, share, lend my mailing list to anybody. It's just between you, me, and my dog, who helps me do it every weekend, and we'll send you the information, and happy to do it as a way, because we're all so busy. This is a proactive way. Instead of having to worry about going to the website, it just comes to you every week.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's at consumerman.com. All right. And again, if you guys have some questions or concerns, you can call us or text us right now. Herb would be happy to answer some questions or give you some advice. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Now, you have some advice for parents this holiday season about emotion-driven spending. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and that's especially with the kids' wish lists. And I'd love to hear from anybody who has any thoughts on what I'm about to talk here, as your listeners. But it's a great concern from financial analysts and parental experts I've talked to is how the holiday season is now being run by the kids making the wish lists and then the parents feeling pressure or stress to buy everything that's on that wish list. And what got me started on this article was the T. Rowe Price 2018 Parents, Kids, and Money Survey, and they found that nearly half, 45% of the parents that they surveyed agreed with the following statement. I try to get everything on my kids' lists, no matter the cost. 45% agreed with that statement. And then they also found that those who do try to cross everything off the list are much more likely to finance their holiday spending than those who don't, and they're also more likely to have gone into debt for something their kids wanted than those who don't. So I see that as a very dangerous situation where you're busting your budget, you're doing what you probably shouldn't do in order to make your kids happy for the short term rather than looking at your long-term needs. And believe it or not, it's estimated by NerdWallet, the financial website, that something like 40 million people, 40 million Americans are still paying off last year's Christmas shopping, holiday shopping stuff, which is amazing. So it shows you what kind of financial situation people put themselves in to give a whole lot of stuff at the holidays when they probably can't afford it.
Wow. That's a huge number.
Yeah. And I don't know, one of the things I talked about here is about the wish list. I'll share my story, and if you want to share yours, we didn't have wish lists when I was a kid.
No.
I truly believe wish lists were created by the retailers who want to make sure that, that show Santa your list and get the stuff, and they have all the stuff online now. When I was growing up and celebrating Hanukkah, there was no wish list. My parents, found something they thought we would really, really like or really, really needed, and it was a big surprise. I had no idea what I was going to get. And it was wonderful. I remember them like it was yesterday. One of the ones was I had just watched John Wayne, The High and the Mighty. Loved that movie. And they found an airplane that had, you could start the propellers. It was a DC-8 or whatever that was. And then you could turn a little switch and the lights went on and there were people inside the windows. And I just thought technology could never get better. That was the coolest thing in the world. Mm. The next year, they gave me a tape recorder. And that led to my career where I am today because I started pretending to be a disc jockey.
Wow.
So it was Herb Elliott, the radio disc jockey.
There you go.
And then it became where I am. But that was, when I talked to some parent experts at the University of Washington, she said, my family didn't have them, and it's really getting out of hand. She got married, and her husband's family did have wish lists, and she said, so what we agreed on was we had to keep it in control. And it is, okay, you can make a wish list, but Santa really prefers that people don't ask for too many things. So one, two, maybe three things. And it would be really nice if you told Santa one of those gifts you'd like to give to somebody else. So it's sort of teaching the fact that, it's not all about gimme, gimme, gimme. It's also about giving to somebody else and that it just doesn't get out of hand. And I thought that was a really great thought that I've been trying to share with a lot of people. It's also, if you don't know what you're going to get, I see kids get these presents now and they sit there and they rip them open, next,
yeah,
it's like a job.
Yeah.
And they know what the presents are, there's no excitement, and it's over, it's like, okay, what are we doing now? It's like, I find that to be terrible.
Yeah. Well, it is, and by the way, the full article you can read again at consumerman.com for more of that. Herb, we got to take a break here, hang on, okay?
Absolutely, okay.
Right. Herb Weisbaum is with us, he is our consumer guy, consumerman.com is his website, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 to 5 a.m. Coming up after the 1:30 news, a special Friday morning appearance from Dan Feinberg to discuss the Golden Globe TV nominations. And we'll talk Golden Globe in general and the movie nominations a little bit later on. Regular Friday features are also coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. But we also have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express that we will play back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Herb Weisbaum is with us. Emmy Award-winning reporter covering the consumer beat for NBCNews.com joins us once a month. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Hello, Nick.
All right. We have a text that just came in, if you can help us out with this.
Sure.
773 area code texts in, I heard there was a major breach of credit cards at a major hotel chain. What is being done to make our information safer, or is that just a fact of life?
That was the Marriott, and they now own the Starwood chain, so that was through them. Last figures I heard were like 500 million files were stolen, records or something like that. The scary part is that in many cases this could include passport numbers if someone, for some reason, international traveler passport numbers were put in the computer. So it's a lot worse than just credit or debit cards and that sort of thing. yes, this is a fact of life now. Chances are you and I and everyone listening has already been breached several times in our lives and will probably continue to be breached for the rest of our lives. And so we have to live in a world where we assume that our personal information is floating around there and act accordingly and do a number of things to protect ourselves all the time. And I can certainly, would you like me to go into some of that stuff?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay. Because, I mean, we really do have to have this protective attitude that we have been breached. We are going to continue to be breached. I mean, it's shocking to me that these companies are not doing more to protect our information. The reporting initially on this breach was that they were in the system for 4 years. Four years before they found out about it. I mean, that just blows my mind when I think about that. It's just amazing. So clearly, companies say they're taking this seriously, but they're not taking it seriously. They're not doing things in place to protect us. And, you know, there's always the weak link. There's always the human being. And as long as the con artists can trick and the hackers can trick somebody into doing something that somehow gets them into the system or reveals a password, and it can even sometimes be subcontractors that can get you into the systems, because if they have access, you can get a lower-level person that work your way into the system, they're going to be able to get in. So that's just the reality. So you have to do a number of things. First of all, you should be checking your online accounts probably once a week. That's enough to just know what's going on. You'd be checking your banking account and be checking your credit card account and just be looking for anything that's not right that's in there, because the faster you deal with a problem, the faster it is that you can deal with something. So that's number one. If you haven't frozen your credit file yet, please, please do that. Make that your New Year's resolution. You need to go to the three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Thanks to a new law that took effect a couple of months ago, it is now absolutely free. You can do this for free, and you can unlock your account anytime you need it, unfreeze your account. So if you want to go to a department store and open up a credit account, if you want to buy a new car, if you need to get cell service and they need to do a credit check, you can go online, you can open up the file, they can do it, and then you can lock the file back again. It is the only thing you can do that proactively protects you against the identity thieves. Please lock your credit files. With all the breaches that have been going on, you should absolutely be checking your credit file. That's the history that's in the credit bureaus that your credit score is created from, and that's what it's based on. You need to get these. You get these for free. You get them once every 12 months at annualcreditreport.com. That's the only place you should do that, annualcreditreport.com. You can get all three at once to start out the new year, or you can get one now and one in 4 months from another credit bureau and one in 4 months from another credit bureau. Just find out anything that's on there that doesn't make sense. You never lived here. You don't work there. There's a collection notice that you don't know anything about. There are credit cards that you didn't open. That will give you the idea that you're a victim of identity theft, and you need to take care of it. Other things. You know those things you all get every month from our health insurance, and it says this is not a bill?
Yeah.
And it tells you, and you, what do we do? It says not a bill. You throw it away, right? It's not important.
Mm.
Read it. Look at it. All you have to look at it, because that's telling you the insurance claims that have been put in over the last month for you. If you know, Nick, if you look at yours and you see that you just had a tonsillectomy in Florida or kidney surgery in Cleveland, and you know you didn't, that means somebody has stolen your medical identity and are pretending to be you to get medical services, which is really serious because they could change your medical file. It could change what, you know, imagine you, the medical file said that your kidneys were removed and you got taken into emergency and they think you're missing one kidney or something. And that happens. So when that thing comes, just look at it and see if there's anything on there. And the last thing is set up alerts with your bank and your bank account and your credit card company. You can do it in about 90 seconds. Just look for fraud alerts and go in there and set up the alerts that make sense for you. With my credit card, I want to know if there's a foreign transaction. I want to know if there's a non-credit card transaction. So if it's a phone or a web transaction, instantaneously I get a notification of that. My checking account, I can know anytime there's a money pulled out from an ATM machine and how much. I know anytime there's a check, I set my own limit of over $250. I know that that's going to happen. This will instantaneously let you know what is going on with your checking account and your credit card accounts. It's very simple to do. You can get a text, you can get an email, you can get both. That will let you know what's going on. These are proactive things that we need to do.
I have to tell you, Herb, that my credit card company does that. Whenever there's
that's great.
Any kind of thing, I get an email and I get a text immediately. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, like, for instance, like just last week, I bought something online at a you know, from a website, a reputable
yep.
website, but a website that I'd never, I'd never purchased anything from before. And as soon as it went through, literally my phone buzzed like 2 seconds afterwards and said, hey, this is, you know, did you or did you not just make this purchase? And I said, yes.
No, that's a little different than what I'm talking about. That's the fraud. That's the fraud alerts that are built into the cars now based on the algorithms that are looking for fraud.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I'm talking about you proactively tell the card, I want to know anytime there's a transaction.
Yeah.
You can even set it for a transaction of $0 just to know somebody did something. So that's above and beyond what they're looking for on their end. This is you're telling them, here's what I want to know that's happening with my checking account or my credit card.
Right.
That's a really great way to know what's going on.
Is that free?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It takes you 90 seconds to set it up.
Okay.
Go to fraud alerts. Look for fraud alerts on your bank account and fraud alerts on your credit card. You can set that up.
Okay, great. All right. That's great. That's all of that is great tips and great advice, and I'm sure everybody is happy to hear it. I do want to mention before we got one more text coming in, but I did want to mention there's an article that you wrote that I think people should read, Herb, especially, you know, during the holiday season when people are spending. You wrote a piece about, is store credit a credit card worth it? You talk about being the rewarded, but there's also sky-high interest rates, and you go through specific stores that offer credit cards, and I think it's a really great piece that I think people should read.
Thank you. Bottom line is it can save you money on the spot. It can also cost you an awful lot, up to 29% if you don't pay the bill off every month. And you lose more than you gain, so you got to be really, really careful about those cards. They have the highest interest rate of any credit cards.
We got a couple of texts here before we get you out of here, Herb.
Okay.
Brian sends in the text that says, talking about scams, I got a phone call saying, for making 100% on-time payment on your credit cards, please call us for a better card. Nick, I haven't had a credit card for 15 years.
That's a robocall scam, and they were hoping they'll try to get your personal information, do something good for him. I mean, he was good, but most people they call will have a credit card, and they're hoping somebody will fall for that and give them their personal information.
Yeah, so watch out for that.
Absolutely.
Little Eddie says, I agree with the wish list thing. If they need it, they will survive.
Little Eddie, I like it.
Yeah.
I like the thought.
There you go. Herb, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man. You help out so many people. I think everybody should subscribe to your newsletter at consumerman.com, and I hope everybody has a safe spending during the holidays and all that good stuff.
Thanks, Nick. For all the listeners who are still in the middle of Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. And for you guys, Merry Christmas and a great new year, and I'll talk to you in January.
You got it. Take care, Herb.
Thanks so much.
There you go. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He's great. He joins us once a month. Check out consumerman.com for more information. News is up next.